Hi, I'm Beverly Simpson.
And I'm Nikki Wilson.
And welcome to the Action Made Mamas podcast. Here we inspire women to take massive action in pursuing their dreams,
cultivating deep relationships,
building loving communities,
raising amazing humans, and most of all, becoming their best self.
Welcome back to another episode of the Action Made Mamas podcast. It's Nikki here, and I'm here with my daughter, Reese. Say hi, Reese.
Hello.
We are here to tell you about a really fun Instagram challenge that I am putting on. I actually did it last year, and it was so popular, I decided to bring it back this year. It is called Cultivate Kind Kids. And this is going to be an Instagram challenge, but what it is a downloadable of 5 kid-friendly ways to serve others during the holiday season. So it's really good. It's kid-friendly. Pretty much any age can do it. Last year, some of the things on the list, Reese, what were some of the things we did?
We handed out sandwiches to people waiting in line at the food bank.
Oh, yeah, and
we also took hot chocolate to the Salvation Army bell ringers.
That's right. And how did you feel when we did those things?
It made me feel really good to do something for other people.
Yeah, it's really cool. One of my biggest fears in life is raising entitled children. Like, it's legit my number one fear. So I just thought this guide and challenge is a great way to serve others and turn the focus outward during the holidays, and it's just really easy. And the winner of the challenge gets a $100 gift card to Target, and I picked 2 winners, and I am donating $100 to the winner's charity of choice, so that's really cool too. So I will link that to the show notes. Make sure you go grab that download and look at the challenge and take pictures. Tag me on Instagram at _NikkiWilson_ and use the hashtag Cultivate Kind Kids.
Say bye.
Bye. Bye, guys. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Action Made Mamas podcast.
We're
super excited to be here with you.
We've had, you guys, I feel like I'm going to be like the silliest person today just because I have had no adult interaction.
Well, you know, I'm feeling a little bit delirious myself. It was funny. I got on the phone with Nikki this morning just to, you know, recap and thinking about how boring my life is. But then when I actually told her what we have been doing the last
it's not
8 hours.
God, it's not boring, but it's like definitely something. I wouldn't say boring.
It's more like a soap opera. That happened is kind of what it's like.
Yeah. But Beverly's dog escaped, as you may have seen on the social media network. Which is, you know, honestly, I've had that happen a couple of times in my life. I could write a book on the dogs getting out just because the adventures in that were hilarious.
Oh, I remember. I was there in the summer when...
Oh, that wasn't even what I was considering. Yeah, Beverly... Oh, my God. Beverly's visit. So many hilarious things happened. But one, we were like all outside. There were like 20 people swimming outside. And the dog was like running around. All of a sudden, I go inside the house, get my phone. And there's like a Facebook post with me tagged in it. Somebody picked up my dog and like tagged. And then anyway, they were like, found this dog on the highway on the construction site, and he's real friendly. And like all these other people who had known that person who posted were like tagging me like, Nikki, isn't this your dog? Anyway, so I have to leave like tons of people at my house. Beverly's there to go pick up my dang dog. Anyway, that wasn't even the time. I forgot about that. Yeah. We've had dogs missing. And I don't know. It's just a really sad feeling. It feels mm-hmm. very helpless. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When the dog gets out, because it's like, especially when it's at night, because there's only so much you can do. And you live in a forest.
I live in a forest. So yeah. Just for some context, remember last week's episode when I was talking about bedtime battles? Well, it's improved, but not really. And so what happened is that Gwen was in her, what I called, vomiting hysteria. And I stayed upstairs, and typically I go downstairs so I'm at least with the dog when it's happening, but I wasn't this time, and so that I think is what spooked the dog, who's 9 years old. And so I came downstairs and he had peed all over the place, and I went, oh, okay. Max, you need to go outside. And he darted outside, and I turned around to grab some paper towel to start cleaning up the mess. And look, if I'm being 100% honest with y'all, I usually I would have cleaned the mess and then gone back and out and gotten him. But I just felt a little bit uneasy. Something was not right. And I turned around to get to bring him back inside, and he was gone.
It's a really bad feeling.
And I was trapped in the house by myself. I couldn't go looking for him because my husband was at work and I had
to go. And you have the kid, yeah.
And also I had that moment of, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? So I called Mike and said, hey, babe, you need to come home. And he said, why? And I said, because the dog's gone. And he's like, well, what do you mean the dog's gone? Well, I let him outside and literally he's not coming back.
So was Mike like, okay, I'll come home? Is that
we both were kind of like.
Was he at work?
Yeah, he was at work.
See, Brent would have for sure been like, this is not a come homeable event. Hopefully they'll turn up. No. He'll be like, hopefully they'll turn up tomorrow. I mean, Brent's just like a dog.
Yeah, you know? So, you know, we like to think that we are like that as well. But, you know, there is part of us that felt radically responsible. I mean, let's say we just let him go. Then, I mean, I couldn't. We didn't do that.
Oh, yeah, I just think, and maybe because we have had those situations before. Mm-hmm. Where we're like, they'll turn up. If they don't, they don't, but they probably will. Like sometimes even 2 days later. Oh, he wouldn't have come home for that. But you guys, the end of the story is Max came back.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, Max is home. He got returned.
He got returned. But let me just tell y'all, we had the cops looking for him, the state yes. troopers looking for him, because people were calling in and being like, we found your dog. We see this dog on the freeway. Like the freeway. Oh gosh.
He came home. That's the happy part.
That's the happy part. He's home, but he is definitely freaked. And also, he's a city dog. So we've lived now in the country for 3 years, but we've had him for almost 10. So he's a city dog.
He doesn't like to be outside.
He doesn't like to go up and down stairs. Okay, so that's why he goes out in the front, not in our backyard, because you have to go downstairs to go to the backyard. And he was out running around in the freezing rain. It was like sleeting snow, like sleeting in 45 degree weather. And he was out for 3.5 hours. So now we've got second day muscle onset soreness. And
he has dogs.
He's like hobbling around. He literally. He's hobbling around. He can't even get up.
Oh my god! It is so true. They get wiped out. They just want greener pastures.
So, he has run more in that day more than he has, I think, in his lifetime. So I'm waiting until tomorrow. If tomorrow he is still hobbling around, we are going to take him to the vet to make sure
make sure something didn't happen.
Because Mike was like, should we take him today? And I said, no, second day onset muscle soreness. He'll be sore today than he was yesterday, but tomorrow that'll be telling.
Yeah. Yeah. You can live with the little DOMS for a couple of days. Delayed onset muscle soreness. Okay. Well, you guys, this is our last episode of the season.
Yeah, we're calling it our season finale.
I know, it's our season finale. We're sad about it. It's just been like too fun.
Yes. I've loved every moment of it.
I cannot believe, like, we did our first recording in August, and it is almost December, you guys. So we're letting everybody, you know, have their busy time, and we'll kind of revamp, and we'll be back. Don't worry. We're coming back. We're coming back, y'all. Coming back with a bang.
We are not leaving at all.
No, we're coming back.
We just want to let everyone spend some time with their families in the holidays, and we want to spend time with their families in the holidays, and then just
get back at it.
Crushing it in 2019. I can't believe we're there already.
Yeah, my kids get like 40 weeks off of school for I don't know what it is about Texas. Like Beverly was, were your kids still in school on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It was still going Wednesday. I mean, they're in.
No, wait.
Was it? Because you sent me a video on Wednesday.
They were in school on Wednesday. So they had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
I was like, oh, no, boo-boo. My kids have been out since the previous Friday. We've done been to every indoor every movie that is out. I even let them watch movies beyond their rating system because I was over it. Yeah, I took my kids to see, my oldest two to see Creed 2.
What is that?
Oh my God. It's a fantastic movie.
Y'all, I make Nikki go to see the movies and then tell me what happened.
Creed 2, I'm all about it. It is, I'm like obsessed with it. Creed 1, it's a Rocky, the Rocky series. You know, Rocky, like Sylvester Stallone. Okay, so this is like continuing on. It's like they're still going, and now Apollo Creed's son is the main character.
Okay, well, wow.
Anyway, I know you don't care at all, but I did let my kids go, my older two go with us, because I was just like, whatever. Woods stayed home by herself. I'm just kidding. She didn't. But yeah, we went. There were some questionable things. I was like, maybe should have thought this through a little bit better, but they went. Reese was like, when we got out, Reese was like, I don't know. That movie was a little inappropriate.
So, oh my goodness.
I was like, well, crap.
When the kids start parenting you, you really know that
you're being and careful. Tristan's over there like, I'm like, I know why he's excited because it was inappropriate. Because Reese was like, that was just a little inappropriate for me. Oh my God. She must be an Enneagram 1. I've been trying to figure out what she is. That's a very one thing to say. That's very one behavior. The righteousness. Anyway, I did my best, you guys. But yeah, and then my kids get like a ton of time off or Christmas bed. I mean, like,
when do you get off?
I think they get out the 19th.
That's still pretty close to Christmas in my opinion.
They go back in like March. that private school life, you know. we're paying for those breaks. No, I think they go back middle January. I mean, it's beyond like the public schools here. We have a lot of time off.
I'll say this. I think over here in the East Coast, the reason why we have such few days off is because they have to prepare for snow days.
Right.
Last year, there was a gaggle of snow days, so much so that they actually had to take some days away from spring break to get schools in.
Okay. Now, they will do that for us in the summer. They'll like, or no, Easter goes first because they don't believe in the Lord. But they take Easter days. That's what public schools do. You know, they take Easter days first. I think like if you get that Monday off. Anyway. Girl, if a cup of ice spills over in Texas, we get a day taken away.
I was going to say.
A cup of ice.
You get snow days.
A cup of ice in the capital of Austin falls over. We all cancel. Anyway, okay, so I've been wanting to know, because I honestly check out. Like, I turned all social media off. I didn't even, like, really talk to Bev on the phone. I kind of, like, holed up and just did the family thing over Thanksgiving. But I have to know, Beverly, like, do you eat dressing or do you eat stuffing over out here in New York?
What do you mean dressing?
Like, what do I mean? See? your Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. So you have your turkey.
Yes.
And then you have your, we call it in the South, dressing.
Gravy?
Gravy? What? No. Dressing is like the stuffing. Do y'all have stuffing?
We have stuffing.
Or dressing?
We have stuffing.
Tell me about your stuffing situation. Do they actually cook it in the bird?
I've seen it done both ways.
Okay.
But mostly, no.
Okay.
Me personally, I don't prepare stuffing, and I don't eat it. And now that is for no reason at all, except that I just don't like mushy bread.
Okay, tell us what is in the stuffing, if you don't know. If you know, if you don't know, whatever. But
I don't know. And you know, I don't know, except that it's like mushy bread. And I have for a long time just considered that maybe it was the preparation, like different people, the way they prepare it.
Which is an element.
That is a thing. But I feel like I have had some excellent chefs in my life prepare food and prepare Thanksgiving. And I have once a lot in a blue moon because I will prepare it as well. And I think I'm also excellent. And I just don't enjoy it. I do not enjoy it.
Well, that's because y'all's is nasty because y'all have stuffing.
So I just...
That's what I'm talking about.
Don't eat it.
Oh, because it's nasty. It's bread. Gross.
It's mushy. Like bread.
Yeah.
It's mushy.
Well, okay, so we eat in the South.
Okay.
Dressing.
Okay.
And dressing, how my mama makes it, is biscuits.
No, I've never had this.
And cornbread. And then you put a bunch of other stuff in it, like sage and like celery, onion, little chicken broth, some eggs. Like my mom beats her eggs first. So it's also mushy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds very similar.
But it is delicious.
Well, I'm going to come to your house next year.
I'm going to make you
I'll come to your house next year.
I'm going to make you some.
And I'll try it.
Okay. I just was like wondering about that. Like, what do the New York people eat?
Okay, so here's my question for you.
Okay.
Do you have your sweet potato or yams with brown sugar or marshmallows?
Okay. So that is another thing. My mama always makes it with marshmallows and brown sugar and cinnamon.
Oh, so you have it both.
Like she cuts up the potatoes and like cubes them and then like, you know, gets all the butter and stuff and the yummies on it. But she puts marshmallows on top. That's the way I prefer it.
Okay.
But there's also like a Southern way to prepare them that is like kind of making it into like a mushy, like you're like almost like mashed potatoes, but it's like so much butter is in it, so much sugar, so much pecan. And then you like sprinkle it like with a crumble on the top. Mm-hmm. I don't actually prefer it that way. But yeah, marshmallows are kind of for me the way to go.
So as a kid growing up on the West Coast, we always had it with the marshmallows. And I am a personal favorite of the like marshmallow fluff with the crunch at the top.
Okay. Yeah.
I do love that. But then my parents moved to Florida and then my sister married a Floridian and his mom introduced us to the Southern style of
like
sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is amazing. I mean,
I love it.
We prefer it that way. We eat it that way. But the way that I prepare it, and I learned this from her, by the way, she's amazing, is I will roast the sweet potatoes the night before.
Okay.
So I'll put it in the oven and I'll wrap it in tin foil and I'll put it in the oven the night before. Then I put it in the fridge so that in the morning when I wake up, I can just literally peel off. I don't have to stand there and peel.
Yeah.
I literally peel off the skins and it's already mushy. And then I just, and then I
blend it.
I blend it with all the cream, the butter, whip it that way, and then roast it in the morning.
So yeah, that is how Brent's family eats it.
It's amazing.
It is good too. I mean, like, you can't go wrong with those dishes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I have to ask you too.
Yeah, please.
This always cracks me up about like Thanksgiving in general. Like, I think no matter where you are, do you get to the table? Mm-hmm. And everybody's sitting there eating. And for a good, like, 15 minutes, is there nothing but conversation about the food? Like, that's kind of our deal, is, like, everybody sits down and then starts talking about each thing. Like, as though we've never had it before. I'm like, yo, this is the same exact from years, from the pilgrims.
We have the same meal. Guys,
can we talk about something else? We're all here once a year together. And we're going to talk about the turkey being moist or dry. And the dressing being delicious. And the green bean casserole. I'm just like, y'all, can we talk about something else?
You know, this is such a great question.
It's a great, awkward 15 minutes.
It's a great question because it's actually forcing me to really think about how present, Beverly, were you when you sat down at Thanksgiving table to answer this question? And honestly, the truth of the matter is I have itty bitties. And so with itty bitties, sitting down at Thanksgiving means that I think I sat down for, I think I got a whole 60 seconds in.
I get
at the table before I had to get up and be like, no.
Yeah. Did they have a kids' table set up?
No.
It was just your kids there. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's tough.
It is tough. And they were super accommodating. So not like there at no point did I feel like, oh, I have kids at an adult party. Like right. it did not feel that way at all, except it just gets a little bit tricky when it comes down to actual sitting down and meal times. Because at a restaurant, now, by the way, I am not someone who feels uncomfortable at what other people are thinking about me and my children and my parenting skills.
Yeah.
If I want to go out to dinner with my kids, I bring my kids and I don't care what happens, right? The only thing that I do care about is making sure that my children are not hangry and that they are eating when they're supposed to be eating. So if we're going to a restaurant, I'm typically going at 5 p.m. Right. Like I'm going at 5 p.m. not because I don't want to be judged, but because I don't want my children to have a meltdown when they're starving.
When they're hungry. Right.
Yeah. Right. So, they were super accommodating by that, in meaning that they had the food prepared by 6 so that my kids could eat and they didn't get hangry. And there was tons of food for them to eat. Like their food is abundant. We are blessed in that for that. So my kids did not melt down, but they sat down first. So we sat down at the table first, let them eat. And then we put on a movie for them so that we could eat.
Right.
But my darling Gwendolyn, who we have come to know and love in this podcast, is strong-willed. And so she does not want to miss out. Yeah. So she would much rather be like, what are you doing, mom? 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 Dad? She wants to sit, be with us, run around while people are trying to sit down and eat dinner. And we were like, ooh, this is a no.
I know. This is enough for me. Beverly and I want a whole podcast episode next season. That's a no for me. It's going to be like 3 hours long because we have a lot of that's a no for me. Yeah. So, okay. Well, that totally makes sense. Yeah. Ours is usually like the kids' table in the other room. And then like the kids, oddly enough, do not like Thanksgiving food at all whatsoever. Like they only like two things, which is a roll and a piece of turkey.
My husband does not like
all of the kids. Yeah. My kids are like, Thanksgiving's weird. It's gross. Like all of the kids eat in like 4.5 seconds. And then they're literally, cause we have like a huge cousin network and they're all like the same age and they're like pounding on the piano in the next room. And it's like chaos.
I can't wait.
Meanwhile, we're still in the dining room speaking on the texture of the texture of the sweet potatoes seem a little bit different than last year. Maybe like so what I made our family do, which not everybody is a fan of, but I'm like, too bad. We're doing this. I wrote place cards for everybody, and each person that was there, on the back of their place cards, I made the kids do this too. On the back of the place card, there was somebody else's name. And instead of doing the awkward humdrum, which I gave them there, you know, 5 minutes of the awkward, this is delicious. Oh, wow. after that, you had to tell the person on the back of the name card why you were grateful for them.
That is amazing. We typically go in my, now for this year, we were at my husband's uncle's house, but yeah, typically on my family, when we go to Thanksgiving in my family, mm-hmm, we go around the table and say what we're grateful for.
Yeah, which is so good. But it was great because it like forced everybody to really be thoughtful. And then it sprung some other conversation from that. And other people were chiming in like, oh, you do that. You know, I'm always so thankful, you know. So I thought that was a really great.
That's so good.
Because I love my words of affirmation. So it was funny, but some people really are uncomfortable with them, mm-hmm, with the words of affirmation. But it ended up being good. I just couldn't sit through a whole dinner of like.
And sometimes people get anxiety about, you know, what if I don't know that person very well?
I rigged it to where everybody would feel comfortable about the person they talked to. It was mostly family, but we do have some really good friends from Senegal who come, and like they brought a sister who we didn't really know. Anyway, so it was great though. It was great. It's good to put. Anyway. All right, guys. So, just kind of going back through the episodes, definitely the number one episode of the whole season, like hands down, like a million uploads. No, it wasn't really a million downloads, guys, but it was a lot of downloads for the Beth McCord.
It was an amazing episode.
Enneagram, like y'all, thousands of downloads and so much feedback.
Yes.
It was about great. Beverly finding out. Her sixness, her Enneagram type is a six. I was really shocked by it. Now I totally see it. Now I can't unsee it.
Yes. And now it's like, how did I not know that?
I wanted to ask you, like, looking back on it, do you feel like if you look back on your life, like, do you see your sixness?
Oh yeah. 100%. So, it's funny, some aspects of my sixness, because I feel like when we really think about, you know, what we talked about in the episode, because now people have been starting to tag me in some of like the awesome Enneagram.
Yes.
They tag me in the Enneagram memes that come up, and I always laugh to myself. But it's funny because when I get tagged in those memes, that I'm not a typical six.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a typical six. So when I see that, I'm like, oh, haha, I totally understand why that is in that meme. But they don't have counterphobic memes.
Yeah.
So they, I started.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have counterphobic six, like, one-liners. So me and a couple of, I'm going to collaborate, I think, with some other counter six.
Yeah.
And create our own.
We should
Like 6A.
Yeah, 6A. The counterphobes.
Yes. What? Here's our one-liner.
Also, C8.
Yeah.
Or you could just be like, read 8. You know, like, yes. Also, that's really how Bev would respond.
Yeah.
Do you see it? Do you see it like in childhood things? Or not really, because you don't have good memories. Not as in like good and bad, just like she doesn't have a good.
I don't have memories.
Memory.
Yes. Meaning, okay, so when we were talking about. I don't have recollection.
Yeah.
I don't have. It's funny because. When we were brainstorming ideas of what we should talk about on our podcast, one of the things was, let's bring up, you know, our childhood experiences now that we know our number. And I said to Nikki, I went, oh, well, you know, how far back are you wanting to go? Because I don't really remember.
She's like, I only remember like 17 and on. I was like, what?
I mean, kind of.
I told you, my husband's the same way. Like, he doesn't have memories. He recalls, like, certain feelings he had, and he can identify the, like, event that gave him the feeling.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have, like, great, even, it kind of is sad for me. I hope you need to try to, like, get your act together, because it's kind of sad for me, because we had dated for so long. He, like, doesn't remember
your first date. Here's Nikki.
Or came out in your beautiful sweater. Yes. I am, because my memory is freaky weird.
My sister's is freaky
weird. Like, freaky weird, and not for everything. Like, I wish it applied, like, academically. It doesn't really apply in that way. But, like, I will remember the slightest detail about conversations and what people were wearing, what it smelled like, what was on the radio. Like, I'm just very, like, weird. I have a freaky memory like that. So I'll be like, oh, when we went off to college, did you cry when I, and he was like, I don't really remember at all. Did you go to college? I'm like, excuse me.
You know, it's really funny that you say that. So I've got two things to say on this. The first is that I remember things in big pictures,
okay,
in terms of like big vision.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember that this was kind of,
yeah,
what was happening. I remember, okay, how it felt. I remember, yeah, like certain details, but the thing is that, like, so even when you asked me that question, you know, what did you guys talk about at Thanksgiving, which was only last week? I was like, what did we talk about? I remember that we sat down and ate and the children were being crazy, but that's kind of,
yeah,
I kind of, like, that's the snapshot.
It's the overarching, yeah.
Yeah, that's the snapshot that I tend to keep. So much so that when I do remember details, I don't necessarily trust myself. Because I'm not usually a great, I know that I'm not a great,
yeah, keeper
of memories, but when I do remember and I have someone who remembers something completely different and I say, wait, that is not what happened at all, I tend to not trust myself because, yeah, I know that I'm not a great memory keeper.
And doesn't that give you so much empathy for, like, you know, we see these shows on like 2020 or whatever it is, like these murder mysteries, you know, and it's like people are asking people to recall, mm-hmm, things from like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually, I get mad at them. Like, you don't remember? What do you mean? And I'm like, well, but honestly, like, who remembers a lot of detail besides me? I think that's why I get irritated with people, because I'm like, I would remember.
But also, though, the mind is so powerful that what we're really only remembering is our interpretations.
Right.
Right? Like, we're not necessarily remembering facts. That's why I get so confused, is why, you know, eyewitness testimony is so,
yes,
important, because people don't remember
but
facts.
Doesn't it give you
what they
so
think.
Much empathy when you think about it from that perspective?
I mean, it does, for sure, for,
like,
sure.
Like, it gives you a little more empathy for people who are like, I don't recall, Kenneth. And I'm like, what do you mean? But then I think about, like,
yeah,
people who, I mean, I probably wouldn't recall every detail of the day. But then I think about, like, my husband, who, like, rarely doesn't recall things. He's actually, like, maybe, I think he thinks more like you. Like, I remember the kids were being loud and we were eating Thanksgiving dinner.
And that it was good.
Because we eat that every year. That's what I remember about 2018 Thanksgiving, you know? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, yeah, I just asked because I think for me, whenever I found out I was at 3, it was like the flood of memories that came back to me about how I'm a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think originally I was kind of thinking about it in the present, but I'm like, wow.
That's amazing. Like, what? Give us some examples.
I was a 3 back then. Well, like, for example, because 3s can be labeled as chameleons, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can kind of get into any situation and just, like, make your way in and just kind of blend. Well, I grew up in New Mexico and I moved to Texas, and it was a very big culture shock to me. Like, just a different, everything about it was really, really different. Mm-hmm. And I went to a very affluent school, public school here in Waco, and I was not affluent. And I quickly realized how I was different in that way. And so I just started, I do recall even like lying about things just because I knew it was kind of like a dog eat dog. Like, I won't survive here if I don't like
keep up appearances.
Right. Because it was very like, you're either from this side of town or this side of town. And the rich side of town. And so I would even like embellish things that weren't necessarily true just because I knew if they really found me out, right, I would not be accepted, you know? And I always remember having that feeling of like, oh, if somebody comes to my house, they're going to find me out. And like, so I never had anybody over at my house.
Right.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, as I got older and older, I think I slowly let my guard down, but like I still kept it up, very high inner walls, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the way I managed, or my chameleon-ness, was I wasn't the prettiest and I wasn't wealthy, but I was really funny. And so I used my humor to mask everything. Like everything. I mean, like my humor, it wasn't healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, everything was funny. Everything was humorous. Mm-hmm. I was like Chris Farley. Like, like, can I jump on this table and break it?
Oh my gosh.
You know, but that was like my way of like getting through, getting around like popular people, elevating my status. And that's where I remember like going to college. I felt like for the first time I could kind of let it all down because I was anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that feeling of like, this is so free, but then it would like manifest in other ways too. You know what I mean? Then it was like, I masked it because I wasn't, you know, probably most teenagers and young 20s aren't living their healthy number to the fullest.
Right.
Or maybe they are. I'm glad for some of you who are. But anyway, it manifested in different ways then. But that was like, my childhood was like a total masquerade is what I like. Like, I think that's why it always hit me so deep.
That's interesting. I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways that I have from that episode, and I think Beth said it, she said it in that episode when she said the reason why the Enneagram is so powerful is that you, and that people tend to focus on or not like it because it feels like they're focusing on the negative, but in actuality, you're just learning more about yourself and about how to be present and accept a person for who they are and learning how to navigate that. So I think for me, the biggest thing that I have taken away from that is that I can now, instead of, you know, going down that rabbit hole of, you know, the unhealthy side of the number, I know I can recognize now what's happening and stop it before we get there.
Yeah.
So for me, the biggest thing that I learned is that inner committee.
Yeah.
That totally. Inner committee in me that just goes blah, 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 blah. And it was Michael Zeller that said it to us when back in January. And I've always carried it with me. But he said, to decide is to stop. And so saying that to myself and to recognize that that inner committee is coming has been what has helped me to move forward faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just knowing and being able to recognize that that is something that is a part of me has been freeing.
Yeah.
So instead of thinking it and taking it and internalizing like, oh, this is bad about me. It's not, it's been more like, this is just something I need to manage. And now I know how to navigate
it. Yeah. And use it. I mean, I think it's just like anything else. Like, you're not resigning to it.
No.
But like your inner committee can be used for good.
Yes.
You know, if you learn, I can go really overboard in this when I'm like allowing myself, like my gut instinct or what I know to be right is being governed by my inner committee. Like, you know, that's not good. But also I feel like I've seen you kind of be like, recognize it, let your inner committee kind of allow it to be out. Yeah. But also like, I've seen you not like dwell in it.
No. Yes.
Like maybe you had before.
Yes. That's been,
you know what I mean?
And then also recognize that, you know, so the unhealthy side of me goes to the three, that perfectionist, that's like that overworking. So now I have really made a conscious effort to shut down at the end of the night. Yes. And that also comes from the lessons that we did in our technology.
Yeah.
Our technology episode. So that has allowed me to just live a little bit more full, live a little bit more in the present. And then even though, which I said to Nikki right before we got on this call, even though I'm living the bedtime battles and having those moments of like, I just want to wish time away or throw Gwen in the Hudson, not really, but kind of, I know that there is going to come a time where she will not want me. Mm-hmm. So I want to savor the moments of where she just wants only me. But look, y'all, I'm saying that now after I've had 6 hours of sleep instead of four. So believe me, I know what it's like to just see, you know, want them to not want you. But I definitely work hard in trying to just stay present. So I feel like, when I think about the year, it's just such a good year. I've learned so much from all of our guests.
Oh my God, me too. And I'm just so thankful.
I'm so thankful.
I never would have thought. I mean, I would have thought. I wanted a podcast like 3 years ago and just, yeah. I was never like, I don't know. I never pushed the button on it. And it was so funny. I know we've talked about this, but it was like, you know, maybe the second time I was with Beverly in person, I was like, do we need a podcast? And she's like, yes, we do. And I mean, I just love like the divinity in it has been so fun to me. And it just feels like so, it's an outlet. It doesn't feel like a drain or, you know, like working online, working at home by yourself. A lot of things feel very draining to me. And this is one that like lifts me up. Like every podcast recording, I feel so like on cloud nine.
Yeah, full, just full.
Yeah, full. Like, oh, this is my life. This is so good. I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also some of the feedback that we've gotten, which is our greatest gift, believe me, because we're here. We want to serve you. So the more feedback information you can give us, the better. But I love it when people say, you know, it feels like we're just all hanging out. We're best girlfriends, mm-hmm. just hanging out. That's what it feels like when I'm listening to your podcast. That is amazing. We want that.
We want that. We
it
want
certainly
that.
It feels like that for me.
Yeah, me too. So you guys, as we close, of course, we want to hear from you. We already have a few guests lined up, so get excited about that. But we want to hear from you too. Like if you have thoughts, which you guys have given us, and we take those into considerations for sure. But if you have thoughts, email us this month, actionmademamaspodcast@gmail.com. And just let us know, like if you know somebody or you have a great idea or you have sleep advice for Beverly and you're a sleep expert and I don't mean rubbing the essential oils all over the body. We're past that point, guys. We're past that point. We're beyond the essential oils, but you know, we want to know. So please email us, actionmademamaspodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, y'all, if you're just listening for the first time, go binge. Mm-hmm. Leave us a review.
We would love
subscribe,
that.
Subscribe and binge over Christmas. You know, put the headphones on and just ignore the kids when they're home. Act like you're washing the floor in the bathroom. And, you know, you're actually have your headphones on and you're sitting in the corner listening to Bev and Nikki.
And have a great holiday season.
Yeah, you guys. We love you. We're thankful for each and every one of you.
All right. And then we will be back in the new year to just bring you nothing but goodness.
The best.
The best.
2019. Here we come, baby.
All right.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye.